I trust that the Lord will bless us as we sing carols to His glory and remember His word to us. We're going to have a presentation for the children right after the close of the meeting, immediately after. Chris David will come forward and he will present them. And then we're going to have a short period of prayer, probably about 12 to 15 minutes, for the Chinese church that I read about this morning. And we encourage, may I say, expect our members and adherents to be present. The others, if you want to stay, you're welcome. Otherwise, proceed to the hall, but the others remain here and we will spend some time in prayer, probably 12 to 15 minutes. Yeah, the Apostle Paul has a wonderful text. It's probably the greatest Christmas text, which I haven't preached on yet, 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God, which is God the Father, for His indescribable gift. It sums up everything about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's open with prayer. Glorious, holy, righteous, loving Heavenly Father, and we do thank You for Your indescribable gift. In fact, we would begin with not only affirming this glorious truth, but also affirming and the fact that we need to confess how often and how little we actually glorify You for Your indescribable gift. I thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, coming in appointment and ordination of the Father into this sinful world, setting aside the glory that You had with the Father for all eternity to redeem a people to Yourself. I thank You, O God, the Holy Spirit, that You have inspired Your people, the prophets, and the apostles, and then given us the holy scriptures in which these things are made evident from the beginning of human history and given to us in the preserved scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Now, Lord, we pray that You will help us by Your Spirit to sing Your praises, to believe Your word and to receive Your Son. Pardon our every sin, for we ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing the first carol, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. And may the Lord help us to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and prepare our hearts so that there is room in our hearts for Him and His rule. 17, carol number 17.
Every heart, prepare reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, from 1 to 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem in Judah. So it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
We'll sing our second carol, carol number 12. "Once in royal David city stood a lowly cattle shed."
Thank you. Our next reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
We'll sing our third hymn, okay, number 27. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Fully human, he cried, he suffered, he hungered, or truly human, and he was at the same time truly divine. So he did experience all that little children would experience. Okay.
So the next reading is from Psalms 45, verses 1 to 7. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like a pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendour and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach your awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The sceptre of your kingdom is a sceptre of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions.
I remember, for those of you who were here this morning, that psalm picks up what Genesis 49 declares, which we considered this morning. Well, we'll sing carol number 2, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
Thank you.
Well, let's pray, and then we will consider God's word briefly, and before we sing the last carol and then close. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded of the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and before he went to the cross, and he addressed you as Holy Father, Righteous Father. And we come to you, even as believing people who know what it is to have the remaining sin and remaining unrighteousness in us. And yet, Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who became or took upon himself humanity so that he might bear our sins. We pray, O Lord, that you will descend upon us by God the Holy Spirit, that you will take the Word of God, which is the product of the Spirit of God, and that you will work in our hearts in such a way that our sins will be not only forgiven, but that we might know increasing power over sin. Pray, Lord, that all that we have sung might be true of us in some measure, that we will know joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, and that this will not be a Christmas which has all the earmarks of pagan pageantry, but nothing of the Christ, who is the central heart of the gospel and the story of Christmas. So, Lord, we pray that with every heart that is able to understand these truths about their own sinfulness, about the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, about our own unrighteousness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that even now we will confess afresh our sin and the Savior of the world. And we pray, Lord, that the day will come when the last of those who are to believe will be called in, and Christ will descend with the glory of his Father and the glory of the holy angels and his own glory to take up consummate reign and rule and power and dominion over his creatures. For these things we ask in the mighty name of the everlasting Prince and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to read one of the great prophecies this morning we considered from Genesis. Now I want to go to the very last of the books, Micah, chapter 5, and I will just read the first part of verse 2 for our consideration and then read the second part later. And it's this which we have been singing about, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah. As I have already said this morning, we looked at a 3,800-year-old prophecy in Genesis chapter 49. Or 1,800 years before the birth of Christ. 3,800 years, of course, before our time, and 1,800 years before the birth of Christ. A prophecy that is in the line that God had promised to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, coming down the line of Seth and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob pronounces this glorious prophecy in Genesis 49. And that is about a family and a tribe. And the family of Israel or Jacob, the tribe of Judah, and it is about an eternal king and an eternal kingdom in the final analysis. Well, this evening, in Micah, we are looking at a prophecy that is 2,700 years old, or 700 years before the birth of Christ, or 1100 years after the prophecy of Genesis 49 by Israel. It's a specific prophecy, first of all about geography, the place where he was going to be born, and then something specific about his kingship. You notice what we are told in the opening words of verse 2 of Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah. Now we're given three names. Bethlehem, Ephratah, and Judah. Now first of all, Bethlehem. Now the significance of Bethlehem is that the great King David was born in Bethlehem. So this is about 300 years after the birth of David and the glorious Davidic and Solomonic kingdom. Micah is speaking about Bethlehem, the city of David, because the Messiah was to come in the line of David. Now we are told here that he would be born in the city of David. Ephratah is an old name for Bethlehem. We encounter this particular name in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19. This is what we are told. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephratah, which is an old name for Bethlehem. And then we have the name Judah. Now here, Judah refers not so much to Judah, the head of the tribe, but the land that Judah possessed, because that is what the text tells us. Verse 2, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, the thousands of the cities and the towns of Judah. In fact, historians tell us that it was a little town of about 300 people. And when we come to the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that this is the fulfillment of what the prophets had prophesied, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Now, before the Lord Jesus was to be born, we are told this in 1 Samuel 17 and 12. Which is 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem. You see how all this ties up together? That even the place where he was to be born was prophesied well over 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Astonishing, isn't it? 700 years before Christ, Micah prophesies of this particular place. It was spoken of and prophesied 1,000 years before Christ in Samuel and in the prophecies given to David. And all of this ties back to the very foundational prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. A little town. We're not only told that this will be in Bethlehem, but we are told that this is a little town, little among the thousands of Judah, among the thousands of towns that was given to Judah. This was a little one, among the little towns. And this is a biblical principle. First of all, how dependable God's word is. Now we all know that the Old Testament, the whole of the Old Testament, was written and completed about 450 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. As we have often had occasion to remind ourselves, we hold this one book, but it's 66 books. It's a library of books. It's written by 40 different authors of different socio-economic standing. Written in Babylon, part of it, written in Israel, and then written in the Greco-Roman world by the Apostle Paul and Luke and John and so on. But the Old Testament was completed 450 years, and it's the Jewish scriptures. And in Genesis, written by Moses in the desert, Micah written about 700 years before Christ, there is this wonderful line, astounding line of prophetic word down to the precise place that he was going to be born. A little town of about 300 people when the Lord Jesus was born. But this little town where the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born was going to be a town of great prominence. But there is a second part in this verse, and this is about the nature of the one who was going to be born. And this is even more astounding. Look what the second part of verse 2 says. Yet, out of you, this little town, forgotten for 300 years, that David was born there, yet out of you, Bethlehem, shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. And here's the most astounding part. Whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. So here we're not speaking about a human personality. We're not speaking about someone who's just been born. Speaking about the divine second person of the Trinity whose goings forth are from everlasting. That's why you cannot read the Bible seriously and then dismiss the claims of the Bible and its prophetic truth about the everlasting King. The one whose goings forth are from everlasting. Now we have these prophecies right throughout the scriptures. Matthew in his gospel, as Andy Pierce read to us, he's picking up this particular verse. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, he's quoting in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. He's talking about a prophecy that was prophesied 700 years ago. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And his goings forth are from everlasting. We have it in, as I say, Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We have it in the prophets, Samuel. We have it in Isaiah. We have it in Micah. And where did Matthew and the New Testament writers get this fulfillment theme? Well, you remember, there are many ways the Lord would have taught them. But you remember in Luke chapter 24, after he rose again from the dead, on the road to Emmaus, he appears to them. And what do we read there? Beginning with Moses and the prophets. And he's speaking about Genesis. Moses and the prophets is a Hebraic way. He's a Jewish way of summing up the Old Testament. Because Moses wrote the first five books. And the rest of the books are considered prophetic books. Although there are prophecies in the Mosaic books. But Moses and the prophets. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he spoke to them all things concerning himself. He would have picked up Genesis 49, verses 8 to 12. He would have picked up Genesis 3:15. He would have picked up Genesis 12. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He would have spoken about Genesis chapter 14, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and peace, power, dominion and peace, as we considered this morning. And we read that their hearts burned within themselves as Jesus spoke of this. And you remember how Matthew in his gospel says, here is one who will shepherd his people. The one whose bones forth are from everlasting. See, all of us are like sheep. We are like sheep with a shepherd or without a shepherd. When we are without a shepherd, we make our own paths. We decide our own destiny. Of course, we all have some form of shepherds, people who lead us, the intellectuals, the philosophers. But of course, these are all like the blind leading the blind. No philosopher, no intellectual, no scientist has ever measured the universe, let alone the heavens. They do not know about the origins of the world and who created it. They do not know about the eternal need or the infinite soul that God has placed in his image in each one of us. And one day we'll have to face this shepherd, king and judge. But if we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our king and our savior and our master as our shepherd, he will lead us through this life. He will lead us through death. He will lead us into eternity. You can have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, king, lord and master and savior. But you must begin by hearing his word, both the Old and the New Testament. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was alive. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It gives us eternal life. How do we know we have eternal life? It's not through our experience primarily. Experience is a good thing, but it's a secondary thing. But it's by the fact of God's promises and that we have new desires. We long for forgiveness of sin. We come to trust him as our Savior and the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. They will never come into judgment. Their souls will never be eternally alienated from God and they will be resurrected in the day of Jesus Christ. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who is greater than me holds them. And no one is able to snatch them out of their hand. This is the Father's indescribable gift. This is what Christmas is about. We pray that you will submit to him. That you will receive him. For he has been given to us both as Prince and Savior. You cannot have him as Savior without having him as your Lord and Master. Because he is your Lord and Master. May the Lord help us to receive him. Make room for him in our hearts. Submit to his rule. And we will know not only forgiveness but everlasting life. For it is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And may each one of us, filled with joy and humble thanksgiving and contrition for our disobedience and our disregarding of God and his word, even this evening, join our hearts with the people of God of all ages and say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you humbled yourself in taking upon yourself the form of a man, a form of a servant, obedient to the Father, in all things becoming like us except in sin, and then becoming the sin bearer, and then rising gloriously on the third day, as the scriptures foretell from Genesis 3 on. Lord, we pray that you will help us to put our trust only in him. To whom shall we go? For he has the words of eternal life. And to whom shall we go? For he alone is the acceptable sacrifice. Where shall we find righteousness? For he alone has perfect righteousness, which he imputes, gives, credits to all those who believe. And Lord, we pray for those who do not yet know you, that they will not continue in ignorance and hardness, willful ignorance and hardness of heart, because he is coming again to judge the living and the dead in glory and majesty and power, when the earth and the sea will flee from the presence of his glory and might. Help us to hide in him, to shelter under his wings, to come into his sheepfold. For the offer of the gospel is free. For Jesus said it often. Behold, what wonderful word of hope this is. For whoever believes should not perish. God the Father so loved the world that whosoever, without exception, without rank, or consideration of stature, age, or any other difference, race or color or creed, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Lord, we give thanks to you, and we believe your word, and we believe the prophets and the apostles. Bless us this day and evermore with forgiveness and eternal life, for we ask it in the matchless name of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's sing the last carol, and then Chris will come and present, make the presentation for the children. Carol number 22, Glory to God, the angel said, Good tidings, lo, I bring. In David's city is a babe, your Lord and Savior King. Please be seated.
It's good to be able to be here today to